Hello, it's Paul Southers here with the final instalment of the Great Glen Gathering Cycle Challenge that I completed in September of last year. In our last episode, I left you at our overnight stop at the Morag Hostel, which is in Fort Augustus on the shores of Loch Ness, where we enjoyed a very convivial evening before waking up the next morning to start what was the longest day of the 3 days cycling, with something in the region of 35 miles to cover. And that would have actually been even longer, apart from the fact that in true Tour de France style, rather than starting cycling from the hostel itself in Fort Augustus, we were transported in the minibuses to the top of a high mountain pass on the south side of Loch Ness. When they did the test ride and reconnaissance for this ride, they actually rode up a very long steep climb to get you to the top of the road, which takes a scenic route on the opposite side of Loch Ness to the busy main road. And it would have been a great ride, but it was just deemed that to do the strenuous climb up to, I don't know, it must be something like 1,500 feet from only a couple of hundred feet above sea level at the start of the day, and then have to follow that by a day that was longer in miles than any of the two previous days would potentially be just too much. So the decision was taken to ferry us all in the minibus, including our bikes, to the top of the hill. And in true Scottish style, when we arrived at the top of this pass, it was in the mist, early morning mist, so we were in the first party being ferried to the top and had to wait whilst the minibus went back down the hill to bring the remaining members of the party up. So hanging around in the mist, it was quite chilly actually. And whilst you could get some limited views down to Loch Ness far below, the views were rather restricted, but it was very atmospheric. And having done a lot of hill walking in Scotland, I was no stranger to those kind of conditions. But anyway, after it probably took an hour or so to get everybody gathered together, and then we started the day with an exhilarating downhill ride all the way back to the shores of Loch Ness. So that was good fun, a nice easy way to start the day. And after that, we just followed some country roads which undulated through some nice countryside to the side of Loch Ness. Sometimes you were on the loch shores, sometimes you were just in farmland. And that's pretty much how the route continued through our morning refreshment stop and all the way on to the outskirts of Inverness, which is the capital of the islands and is a city, not a huge city by our standards in England, but still in Highland terms, it's quite a large place. And it was full credit to the reconnaissance team that they managed to find a route going through cycle tracks and sometimes on pavements that managed to circumnavigate the busy roads that surround Inverness itself, because there are certain roads that are heading from southern Scotland and England pretty much have to pass around the or through Inverness. So we had to get past all those busy roads, and we did that, and then we were able to relax again as we got back onto some nice country roads and started what was quite a long climb back into the mist on Culloden Moor, which is just south of Inverness. And anybody who knows the history will know that that Culloden Moor is where the Bonnie Prince Charlie and the Highland Rebellion came to a very bloody and sad end. at the hands of the English army and was completely routed and defeated. So luckily we weren't routed and defeated on the climb over Culloden, and we were pleased to get to the top though and started another long descent towards the valleys, which would be, if you were coming from the Aviemore area running up to Inverness, we're heading down into the big valley that covers that area. And the highlight on this section was that we went under this rather grand railway viaduct, which carried the railway from Speyside, which is the area where Aviemore etc. is, across to the valley towards Inverness. And after passing through the viaduct, we started to climb again on some very narrow country roads, which it was really lovely riding. We were out of the highlands now and into the low hills heading for the course, but it was still very enjoyable riding. And we had a wonderful final stop, refreshment stop, in a clearing in some forest just on the what was really the last hills before starting a descent to the course. A really nice atmosphere, and you know, everybody really enjoyed the ride up until that point and was feeling quite pleased about the fact that most of the substantial climbing that we'd been doing over the last few days was just about behind us now. And after that, after a nice refreshment stop, we started the final grand finale, which was a descent on quiet roads all the way down into the town of Nairn, which is on the it's on what's kind of the north coast of the wider part of Scotland, the bit that goes from Inverness round the along and then round the coast to Aberdeen. There is still another part of Scotland which is classed as a far north that goes up, carries on up beyond Inverness, but this kind of on the north coast of the what you call the Scottish Islands portion, which is separate really from the what is classed as a far north. And we dropped down into the town, a lovely little town, and myself and Ian, we, not that we've said this before, not that we ever want to be competitive, but we were in front at this point, and to be honest, we were pretty determined that nobody was going to catch us or take us on the, there was one or two traffic lights and junctions as we headed for the hotel, and there was no way we were going to let anybody past us. And talk about a fantastic finale, but we turned into the grounds of the final hotel, which was owned by the same company as the previous two hotels we'd stayed at. Was really quite a grand old, probably a Victorian type hotel in its own grounds. It was almost like a mansion house. It was huge, with very impressive gardens, water, a big fountain in the driveway, and grand steps, curved steps going up to a main entrance, which the two other hotels we'd stayed at, whilst perfectly nice, were just right next to the road with a functional car park. But this was really like a stepping into the past, with, you know, the sort of hotel you'd have seen on TV dramas. And when we all arrived there, we all got into a big arc to have the official photo taken of the grand arrival, which I haven't seen the photos and wouldn't really be able to make sense of them. But from a publicity point of view for the charity, if you imagine all, 30 to 40 riders, including the recumbents, trikes and the trailer bikes, were all in a big arc. We're all in our Empowered People I-Viz clothing. So, you know, it made a great publicity shot. And so after we'd done that, we were allowed to go into the hotel, where, again, it was lovely inside the hotel. It had, you know, very comfortable rooms. And the event ended with a lovely meal in our own private dining room, which so it really, you know, excellent 3-day riding, and what was in total a 5-day journey, starting from Tomadin on a Monday, and we left Scotland the next day, Friday morning, and arrived home late in the afternoon on the Friday, tired, but we really enjoyed ourselves and been lucky with the weather. As a little postscript to that one, unbelievably, our support vehicle, Betty, which listeners paying attention may recall had to be left at the First Nights Hotel in Oban, we couldn't find any mechanic in Scotland who would touch it. So we actually had to arrange for a mechanic from the garage in Rochdale, who normally services the vehicle, to drive up to all the way up to Oban from Rochdale with a trailer, tow Betty back on a trailer back to Rochdale. And we're pleased to say that after a not insignificant amount of expenditure, Betty's now been fully restored to her former glory and is back supporting us on our cycle rides. So that's the end of the Great Glen Gathering. And since then, in April 2023, I have actually undertaken another weekend ride, which was titled the Cotswold Caper. You can probably notice a pattern developing here where all the rides have a silly name where it's got something's got to rhyme with the destination. But this was based down in the Cotswolds at a place called Chipping Norton. I didn't really know the area, but very nice rolling countryside and lovely cycling. We did about over 2 days. We were doing about 25 miles a day, something like that, and all was going well until the wheels literally began to fall off my recumbent bicycle. It actually started on day two, and so I did probably about two-thirds of the ride on that day, and then ended up in the support vehicle whilst my trailer was taken off the road. With a bit of doctoring, we managed to get the cycle running again the next day, but probably again about two-thirds of the way through, the wheels started coming off again and I had to abandon ship. So I didn't complete the entire ride, which was slightly disappointing, but it was a lovely weekend. And to be honest, bearing in mind the tough riding and some of the places I'd been on that recumbent bike over the last 2 or 3 years, you know, over mountains in Snowdonia, across the Highlands, and one or two difficult rides in Yorkshire as well, I suppose it's little wonder that the bike was starting to fall apart. So as things stand, it's probably, whilst the bike could be repairable, although it needs some fairly major surgery, but the spindles that hold the wheels in place basically need completely rebuilding. And the diagnosis seemed to be that we need to try and raise some funds to buy a completely new bike for me. So you know, that's where we're up to, and watch this space. But as things stand, I do need to get my bicycle repaired before there are any more adventures to report on. But that's all from Paul for now, and I hope you've enjoyed listening to my escapades with Empowered People, the disabled cycling charity. Thank you.